Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Access Astrology. We had a little technical difficulty getting everything up, but we are now up and running. So hopefully we'll be joined very shortly by Mark and Heather. I don't know what the heck is going on with Access Astrology, Blog Talk Radio, but it was definitely causing a little bit of excitement. So we are ready to roll. And here, my name is Ann Ortley, broadcasting from the bright red desk. I don't know why it wouldn't let me in, but it wouldn't, and we're in now. It's Mercury. Mercury. Mercury has gone into its shadow, and it is, or not into its shadow, it's back scheduling the eclipse degree. And as it stimulates the eclipse degree that we had on March 20th, it wakes up all this stuff. And, of course, Mercury's on the world axis, and United Airlines was down for a couple hours today because of whatever was going on with Mercury. And JetBlue was down for a couple hours, and the stock exchange was down for a couple hours. And just a few seconds ago, Blog Talk Radio was down for, I couldn't get it to run. So I think I've got Mark on the line. Mark, are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Yay, okay, so I don't know, we have technical difficulty, it's one of those days.
Blog Talk went into its shadow.
I just was like, I couldn't get the damn thing to work, and I kept putting, you know, and they changed it, you know, they change it on me all the time, and they don't tell me, and that's not good. So they've added a couple new things, and it was not working well. So anyway, it's back, so we're working, and we're up and running, and it is the eclipse that's being triggered. Mercury is aspecting at 29 degrees. Gemini, he was squaring the eclipse degree on March 20th, so that energy is back up. And pay attention to how it shows up in your life. So what do you notice about the week ahead, Mark?
Oh, let's see. We have... I forgot, I don't have it in front of me. But we have...
It's Mercury, you know?
Yeah, we have some nice stuff going on with Mercury, as I recall. And we have Mars moving into Cancer. And we have some nice stuff with the Sun, too.
Yeah.
Well, exciting, exciting stuff.
With Pluto
and Uranus.
Right.
Yeah.
And today Mars was trying Uranus, which is always fun too. Or not Uranus.
Right.
Mars was trying Neptune.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Neptune off, and there's Heather. She just arrived. Hi,
there's
Heather.
Hi.
We had a
how
Blog
are you
Talk
too?
Radio excitement. I couldn't get the thing to load. It was not.
Neither could I. I think I was loading at the same time as you were, and neither one was getting on.
We may have been jamming
each other's
signals.
Well,
that's
a Mars Neptune there for you.
That's a Mars Neptune. Well, I'm like, I can't get the thing to work, and then it finally worked. Okay, we're good.
Yeah,
so
good.
Welcome, Heather. From where are
you
broadcasting
one of
from?
One of you.
I'm in
Mars
Minnesota
and
now.
Yeah, I don't know Mars. I think I'm going to go with Neptune. I just had a really lovely dinner by the East River at this restaurant that I'd never been to before. The food was phenomenal, and we watched, you know, the lights change, and we were outdoors with a lovely breeze, and it was beautiful.
Oh,
and we left,
beautiful.
The guy goes, I thought you were going to stay till breakfast. I was like, I would. If I didn't have a radio show, I have to go home for her. I just stretch out on the back deck out there and watch the sunrise in the morning. Yeah, it was beautiful.
That would be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
out
on the river?
Yeah, it's on 20. It's a Tom Colicchio, you know, the guy that does one of the Top Chef things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have a friend who always finds amazing restaurants, and whenever we go out with her, I mean, truly, truly, the food is amazing. So he has a garden. It's called River Park, and he has a garden right next to it. So he goes and he harvests like the radishes and the lettuce and all the stuff that we ate. You know, they have it growing in New York, like this little garden with tomatoes and fennel, and we went by the garden, you know, as we left. But the food was truly, truly amazing. So, and then we were outside under an awning with a beautiful breeze, and you know, watching the East River, and you know, as the sunset. And we got there at 6, and we left at 20 of 11. So I can see where the guy was like, yeah, I thought you were going to sleep over. I'm like, yeah, I would have. But it was really, the food was, it was just kind of one of those leisurely, wonderful meals. So,
well, it's also, I think Mercury just entered Cancer.
And
Mercury and Cancer, I mean, I noticed that I was a little bit more irritable and did not, like, minded being around lots of people today, and needed a little bit more quiet and calm, and
mm-hmm.
wanted to kind of go deep inside. And I'm looking
mm-hmm.
forward to, like, delicious, nourishing foods and all those
mm-hmm.
other wonderful Cancerian things.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
because the three planets
right,
now
really
in Cancer.
Communicating
yeah.
over a nice meal was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Oh, it was just delicious, yeah.
And now
really
Mars is coming to oppose Pluto over the next week, and I can feel that tension already building.
Yeah.
The Sun is moving into a square with Uranus, and Mars is opposing Pluto. I think the European Union is really cooking. And I've noticed that my nervous system, when I'm at rest, I'm at rest. But when I start to wind up, I can feel this sort of extra charge in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. I've known several people who, you know, get excited or get anxious are noticing this kind of revving energy underneath a beautiful summer's day.
Right.
It's kind of the leftovers of the Pluto-Uranus square, because every time
mm-hmm.
a planet moves through from squaring one to
right.
opposing the other
yep.
like
yep.
this, then it reminds us that we got through that. We're done with
right.
it. But
mm-hmm. It's still echoing for a nice long time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, no, it's really, truly amazing stuff. You just kind of go, oh, wow. What I like about it is we have, when these planets are in Cancer, we all get to be honorary Cancers. And every 2.5 days or so, as the moon changes, we kind of have this, you know, beauty of the energy, learning how to be that energy. So today we're Aries. We're all honorary Aries. So, of course,
mm-hmm.
your moon,
mm-hmm.
Heather's an Aries. So when the moon's in your
yes,
moon sign, it,
it
really makes you feel a little more sensitive and more of a need.
More of that, yes.
Yeah, but we all get to kind of mm-hmm. experience what Cancers go through for the next
mm-hmm.
few weeks,
mm-hmm.
which is really helpful. So, you know, on Friday it's going to go into Taurus, and we're going to
mm-hmm.
be, you know, working with the energy of that energy, because
mm-hmm.
Taurus is forming a T-square with Saturn and Venus. But we're also going to be working with the Taurus, and so Mars, Sun, and Mercury all really feel like Taurus. So they're all going to
mm-hmm.
be kind of gathering
mm-hmm.
into the stubborn, you know, and
mm-hmm.
or gathering into the indulgence of Taurus. And then when it goes into Gemini on Sunday, we're all going to have this three planets kind of shift energy and become Gemini. So it's a really good exercise in astrology. And, of course, when the moon's on your moon, you really feel it. So it's good. So it's definitely
mm-hmm.
An interesting time. So, yeah.
And yes. So, and how do we help people use this kind of revving energy next week with that? Mars opposed Pluto. I just kind of ask people to be a little extra careful. We're doing a major project on our house. We've taken down the front porch and are rebuilding it because it turned out to have large rotten spots. But I mean, there was
what?
A whole
rotten
roof
spots?
And
okay.
yeah, and a whole roof and we're rebuilding it. But in doing
that's what happens
yes.
when you do stuff under a Pluto influence. You know, you find
yeah.
the rotten underbelly. Right?
Exactly. And the bad news is it's there. The good news is we found it before
yeah.
the porch collapsed on our head. And, you know, this is a very old house. And the last time anybody worked on that porch, it was 1923.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the review of it. So, but I notice under this energy, it both can give us the energy to do major mechanical feats and
mm-hmm.
a little more accident prone. You know, the one
right.
beam went right through our new screen door. Oops. And I learned how to put on a screen door. And it's... But that that you both have the need for ingenuity and the ability to be ingenious to solve the problems every time you've got that Mars-Pluto aspect as well as the other deeper issues cooking up underneath.
Right.
So it will be interesting. The Canada fires have been terrible this week, and I think that we're going to see some of that as the fallout from the Mars-Pluto opposition and the Sun-Uranus square. And then the Mars-Pluto-Uranus square. Fires in because of the weather pattern shifting and droughts above British Columbia is terribly on fire. And in the middle of Saskatchewan, they've evacuated, 20,000 people, mostly from reservations on the flatlands. And that the smoke is pouring in. Last week, we could barely breathe because the smoke was so bad here because of the smoke coming down from Canada.
Wow. Really?
And
from the Gulf, Gulf Stream, huh?
A big, huge amounts of, it was like a thick fog over the whole town for a couple of days, but it smelled like this wonderful resinous smell, and you knew how many resinous trees were on fire. In areas that are normally so wet that they grow these big resinous trees, and when there's a drought, those things catch on fire like you can't believe.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the many towns are being wiped out, reservations. Where do they put these people? Where do we go? Luckily, it's not a highly populated area, but it is definitely going to be affecting people. So, and it's really interesting, these deeper aspects, how it's going to be coming out. I think there's a lot of good surgery involved here. I suspect that whatever happens in Europe, that the desire to take down an old structure that's no longer working and rebuild it, like we're doing with our porch, is going to have to be part of what happens to the European Union in response to the Greeks defaulting this week.
Right.
However they do it, something's got to be reorganized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they say in a number of the large banks are going to fail, too.
Yeah. And when we look at our lives, how do we feel that? We may be impacted by that, or we may just notice that somewhere in our lives something that wasn't working is now breaking down and we need to rebuild it.
Right. And I think we forget, that the renovation piece is part of it. That the renovation piece that we have to go through as part of this journey is a really important component of how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I agree. Well, we've got a few people on the line. Shall we give them a shot?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, just to say to everybody that, this is kind of one of those weeks where you're going to really feel the energy because the eclipse is also being set off, and there's a sense, even though the sun's landed on Pluto, then he's going to land on Uranus on Sunday. Next week, Mars does that. So he's going to set off Pluto, then he's going to set off Uranus. And this is also activating the eclipse from March 20th. So this week we get the news.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we take the action. So you're going to be really feeling the need to do something and just kind of honor that is kind of one of those things, that we have to do. So, yep. So I'm ready for calls.
Okay. Hello, 984, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. My birthday is August 14th, 1965, in San Francisco at 1:30 in the afternoon.
1:30 p.m. in San Francisco. And what's your question?
Well, I guess I'm kind of thinking about, romance to some degree. my love life. My job, my home is changing. I mean, lots of things are always changing in my life. I was just wondering if there was any hope of finding, you know, a way to work out a relationship.
Are you in a relationship? Are you looking for a relationship?
Yeah, I'm looking for. I have met somebody, but I don't know if it's really if that's the one I'm gonna be working on, or if that's if it's gonna be something beyond it. There's a lot of things that are not working in favor of that one. it has been a long time since I'm kind of a loner. And it's been a long time since I've been able to come up with the idea of maybe being in a relationship is a good idea and finding someone that might work. And so.
Well, I think you're so incredibly sensitive.
Yeah.
That it's a risk for you to get your feelings exposed. And we look at some very early relationship dynamics that you're still healing. With your moon Saturn in the fourth, conjunct in Pisces, opposed Uranus, Pluto, and Venus. So you really, it has to be a determination on your part that the early family pattern doesn't need to describe you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You have Uranus over the next couple of years coming to oppose your natal Mars. It can change who you're attracted to, how you respond, how you handle yourself in a relationship. And you hate conflict so much that your tendency is to kind of just run the other way and duck out rather than see it through and find a new way.
Right.
So studying how to have healthy arguments might really help you feel more confident in relationship. What is healthy? How do I mediate for myself in a good way? You've got your progressed Venus coming to conjunct Mars in the next 5 years or so by progression. And that sure looks like a relationship to me. I wouldn't say the next couple of months are probably not it.
Okay.
Because Saturn progressed Mars, transiting Saturn is sitting on your progressed Mars and delaying that. But I just see you heading into the direction of a good relationship if you decide that you can, rather than keep proving to yourself how you can't.
Anne,
what do you say?
Well, I would totally agree with that, and I think part of the, you know, what that, when we're looking at the energy you're having right now, a lot of it is for you to get ready, you know, and so kind of take it as this is your practice. So even if this person isn't necessarily the one you're going to end up with, kind of go, okay, you know, I'm really ready now to try again. And I haven't been in a while. And that extreme sensitivity of the Pisces, we also have Chiron stationing kind of right on your moon right now, and you're having your Chiron return. So that kind of is bringing up a lot of the soul wound stuff. And the moon and Mercury, moon and Venus are opposite each other. So there wasn't, your mom didn't, you know, no offense to her, she didn't necessarily model how to be in a relationship. So part of what your job is to figure out is maybe not what your folks had, but what do you want? And what does that look like? And that's very, very different than probably a lot of the model of relationships you see. And the other thing is, because your Neptune's angular, right on your ascendant, that gives a little bit of, you know, people don't always see you when they get to know you. So you have to kind of say, oh, you know, let me show you who I am before I get involved with you, so that down the road a piece you don't go, I didn't know this is who you were. Because people with Neptune angular, everybody can project on, and that you become their dream, or then you become their nightmare. You know, it's this, you kind of go back and forth. It's that Taylor Swift song, the new one that she's got out about blank space. You know, I kind of blank space. People can project onto you, and you don't necessarily know it. You know your moon Saturn, you know, gee, you know, I don't know how well I feel in this. And they're kind of giving you all this stuff you didn't have anything to do with. That's their stuff. But you then feel that maybe you did something wrong and you didn't. It's the extreme sensitivity. Plus those Pisces moons, I got one myself. We see their soul. We see their potential. We don't always see their reality. So you have to kind of check and see who their reality is early on before you get too far into it, because then you're going to go, oh, that's who you really are. And that's your Neptune. So, Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, you definitely have a chart that shows a hypersensitivity. And so what you need to do is let that be an advantage, you know. Don't let it knock you out. And I think for you the best thing to do is to really focus on the little things and the details and, find everything that you're interested in and curious about and just stay with them and follow, one little thing that's curious and leads to another. And, don't let go too soon. Keep following stuff. It's a little easy for you to allow your many interests to become distractions, and then the energy dissipates. But if you'll stay on each little thing a little bit longer, find out three more things before you go on to the next, and see how that works for you.
Yeah.
Yep. And I would say, keep saying, how can I feel safer here? Not, should I be here or not?
Right. Where's the exit?
Right. Instead of, because you're so good at that. You know, it's like, no, how, it's like, okay, I know where the exit is, so how can I be safer here?
Yeah. Yeah. That this person I met, it really is a very different set of attractions, and I've really made myself kind of just sort of stand and watch and feel it, and one thing is that he's quite, in some ways, in tune with his emotions. So he knows what he's feeling. He doesn't behave well once he feels those things. But watching him go through it has been a learning experience for me. And in some ways, he's like a reflection of me, and so I've been able to see how I'm dealing with things watching him. So it has been it has been exactly everything you guys have just been talking about. And the idea that it's going to continue is, I would like it to be over, but it's not. It's a journey. I'd like to find the one person, but maybe right now is not the time. Maybe it's just about learning about what I want from situations and how to do it better. All right. Well, thank you so much for your help.
Okay.
You're most
welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
And we're at the
end of
the show.
So wonderful.
We have a minute or two left.
Okay. Then this is Heather Roland Robin signing off from Minneapolis. And I ask everybody to just be a little careful with yourselves this week. And when you feel that nervous energy, know that it's not necessarily you, and you can choose to tune into the calm underneath it.
Right. And also to honor the T-square this weekend, which has a lot of energy around pushing. And I'm lying to you, Heather. Because we started late, I did a 30-minute start now, and we actually still have 6 minutes left. I just turned on to the switchboard again. So we do have room for another caller if we want to take one.
Wonderful. So we have another one on the line.
Sure.
All right, cool. We still have 6 minutes left. Blog Talk Radio is not hanging up on us. I'm just looking at my computer clock instead of the Blog Talk clock. Sorry.
Hello, this is
Mercury
962, you're on the line. How can we help you? Hello?
962, you there?
Hello?
Hi, can we help you?
Hi. My birthday is February 15th, 1967. Rockford, Illinois. 11:23 a.m.
Okay. And what's your question?
I was wondering if you could talk about I think I have a stellium up there in the Pisces.
You do?
Can you?
The Pisces kind of night.
Explain. I have, the Pisces thing. I have the three in the north. No, I have Chiron.
Chiron, Mercury, Venus. You're an Aquarius.
Right.
Moon in Taurus, Gemini rising with Mercury, Venus, Chiron, and Saturn in Pisces.
And then I have the Moon in the 12th.
Right.
And Moon right on the cusp between the 11th and the 12th, depends on what house system you use.
Okay, so I was just
wondering. And then you have Uranus
all...
and Pluto in the fourth opposing your Saturn, Chiron, and Venus.
Right. So I was just wondering about that Pisces energy, if you could talk about that.
And the Pisces energy opposed, you have Mars and Scorpio, which echoes all that Pisces, and the Pisces in that opposition. You know, you've got that wonderful solidness of the sun and moon fixed signs with that high, strong energy underneath that.
Okay.
And you're our Pisces expert. How would you say about that?
I would say you have to kind of caretake the Pisces energy. You have to think of it
mm-hmm.
as little fish.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever snorkeled mm-hmm. and you watch, you know, how quickly the fish shift direction and they go zooming off, and then they zoom
mm-hmm.
back in, and you're kind of like, where'd they go? And on a rocky day, there's no fish on the coral reefs because they went somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
The Pisces part of your energy is the part that's very quicksilvery, very fishy. In that, you know, it's an ocean sign, it's water moves, very fluid, very changeable. So it's
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
the house of your hopes and dreams, it's in the house of the money from your career, it's in the house of, you know, how your mind work, how's your love work, how your structures work. So it can give a little difficulty with boundaries, can give a little difficulty with truly seeing the person for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You see the world through rose-colored glasses, in the areas these planet rules. Mercury rules you, because you're Mercury rising,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
you kind of come into the world with rose-colored glasses. Mercury also rules the Virgo house, which is your fifth house of love affairs and creativity. Venus rules your sixth house of work and habits, and also your fifth house of love affairs, as well as your Taurus house, your spiritual connection to divine and your soul. And then Capricorn, Saturn rules your eighth house of sex, love, merging, and your ninth house of deep understanding of who you are, your 10th house of your career. So you basically have an incredibly fluid water chart with these two little planets, your sun and your moon, trying to hold the ground. But, of course, the sun answers to Saturn and Pisces and the moon answers to Venus and Pisces. So basically you have to kind of think of yourself as a wave. And you in and out like the wave does. You know, the wave goes out, the wave comes back, particle wave, am I a particle today, am I a wave? And just kind of live in a fluid state. If you understand the extreme fluidity of your chart, you're not going to be so frustrated by it. Because those grand water trine, those planets all trine your Jupiter in Cancer, and they also trine
mm-hmm.
all your Scorpio planets. So this is an incredibly water chart. And I would just kind of think of yourself as a glass of water, and you're very sensitive to your containers. You shape-shift based on the container. Hanging out with somebody who's not so nice, you're going to pick up their energy like a giant absorptive sponge. And, you know, like we wring sponges
mm-hmm.
out in the summer, otherwise they get stinky. You have to be very conscious of who you hang with because you're going to just absorb their energy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my take. My first take is just total consciousness about what you're picking up energetically and just knowing the extreme
mm-hmm.
sensitivity and that when the chart's stressed, it takes off and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're supposed to defend yourself like a little fish swimming off. And then when you calm down, you go, okay, now I can go back and just explain it to people. You know, I'm going to disappear from
mm-hmm.
time to time. Important mm-hmm. for me to do that. Does that make sense?
Oh, I'm going to go back to some, you know, it can look like compulsive attitudes from other people, but that you have
mm-hmm.
that, you can go to that Taurus moon, to some routines and rituals that work for you to calm your nervous system, and that you really like the rhythm of your life to deal with that sensitivity. Because with that sensitivity, I mean, you were born with Venus-Pluto in an exact opposition, really tight, that there was some emotional trauma going on, I think, from the looks of this, just as you walked into this life, or just as you left last life, very early on, and so that you're healing from things that you can't really see. And maybe you don't even know, you may or may not know the story, but you know that this lifetime is really focused on healing and recovering and doing all the things that Anne said about becoming more and more comfortable with your sensitivity and what helps you stay grounded.
Okay. You are right. There is something that happened when I was very young, and I'm
mm-hmm.
still, well, I don't know that I've really dealt with it, but you're right about
mm-hmm.
that.
And the more you can just deal with it and give yourself room to have dealt with it and just say, you know, that affected me on a cellular level, but it doesn't have to, restrict me for the rest of my life. I just have to be honest about what that sensitivity imprinted at so early an age so that I can make different choices and realize that that happened to a very fragile child. But I'm an adult and I can make my choices now. I can protect myself in a way that that young child was, you know, much more overwhelmed by things.
Okay.
Because you're really strong. I mean, Pisces has the strength of a willow tree.
Enormous strength, yeah.
Enormous strength that is about flexibility and flow. And, you know, who survives a storm? We live out here at the edge of the prairie, and you see that what the only thing left standing after the tornado are the grasses that bent in the wind, and they're just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think of as Piscean strength.
Okay.
And so there's a real durability in your chart, but you've needed to do everything on your own terms. You need to, you know, do things at your own pace, not be rushed by anybody else, so that you can make it safe to be sensitive.
Yeah, because I feel uncomfortable being sensitive.
Mm-hmm. But it's got some real gifts.
I'm more comfortable with my air, you know, the Gemini and the Aquarius, the air. I'm not...
Go to the mind side.
And when I first saw my chart, I thought, where's all this water coming from?
But
I'm not comfortable with the water part, but I have so much of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that you can use what you are comfortable in to slowly get safer feeling the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
So that's it. We're done. End of the show.
Okay.
Ann Ortley signing off from New York at the Bright Red Desk.
And Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota.
And Mark Waltz, New York City.
Wonderful. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Thanks. Bye.
Catch you all next week. Bye.